Why is it in the King James Bible it tells you that the love of money is the root of all evil?
Because it is.
So
the love of money. He didn't say money was the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil.
But then why does it tell us to store treasures up in heaven, though?
That has nothing to do with now, because it says a wise man's house, there's corn, wine, and oil. So now, there's nothing wrong with enterprising. That's the way God made it. I tried to get you to answer a question, and you wouldn't answer it, because you wanted to get all these other points in that don't have anything to do with capitalism. Or
you don't believe that it promotes some form of greed and selfishness.
It doesn't matter. Men's hearts are greedy because of sin. It doesn't matter what system you go to. You go to a socialist system, there's going to be those that administer that system, and then there's going to be those that take part in it. Look at what just happened with health care in America. You just had a health care bill get passed that the people that are running the country don't want nothing to do with. And they exempted themselves from having to pay the things in it
I am for a little bit of capitalism along with socialism.
Okay, well, it doesn't work together because you have to take everybody else's money to give to people that don't do anything to get it. And whenever you give listen to me. Whenever you give somebody something, they get dependent on your giving to them, and they don't go get it for themselves.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. Well,
that's it.
You're right.
Now, people get mad when I use this, you know, when I use this analogy, and I say, there's a reason why when you go to the parks and things, it says don't feed the animals. Well, why don't they want you to feed the animals? Because the animals will be dependent upon you feeding them, and they will forget how to go out and hunt their own food and get it every day, and they'll die. It was meant for men, even before the fall, to work. What I was trying to get at, Genesis 15:1-15, says the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it.
You're right, Jeff.
Okay, so
you
now.
Your word, man.
Well, I sure do, and that's why I don't.
Praise God, man. Praise God.
Well, here's the thing, though. He gave him a job. The first thing Adam had was a job.
Right.
But we were not created to live forever and to live a good life, this and another. That was the byproduct of why we were created. We were created to be friends of God, his children. He wanted a family. We were made in his express image and likeness. It's just like having kids. We love our kids. They look just like us. And because they look like us and they mannerisms are us, we have relationship there. That's why man was created. He wasn't created just for the heck of it. And no, we didn't just come about. That's the most foolish thought ever in life. You don't have anything that we just happened.
Well, that's what they believe in evolution.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So anyway, Christopher Columbus, we're going to go back to just a little bit. And Christopher Columbus exploited the Indian people called the Halitawaks down in, you know, the island areas and things that he landed. And he was very brutal to them, very, very brutal. And he destroyed many of them. He enslaved them. He took all their riches. And he did a lot of things. And on top of that, he was not the first European to get out of, how should I say, he's not the first European to come to the Americas. And that's what they mean by that, because you're getting history from a European standpoint, when it has nothing to do with that. You had peoples living here, like you said, the Indians, and there were several different tribes of Indians and things like that that lived here long before they did. And I tell you the truth, I know
they live in some form of peace too, although they fought among
each other. I was getting ready to say, do not believe that, because I heard, I always heard this, that over in Africa, you know, our people were kings and queens and stuff, and we ruled, you know, and lived in peace until the white man came. Well, that's a lie. That's just a lie.
I know there was tribalism.
There was a whole bunch of tribalism, and there was a whole bunch of wars between tribes for any reason. Because
a lot of it was because of a language barrier, too, Jeff.
It might be because they were taking each other's land, though, and they were hunting each other's forest that each one depended on to live, because they did not know how to trade, first of all. They didn't.
Do you ever think, that, Jeff, that a lot of that had something to do with because of sin and imperfection?
That's what I just told you. That's why I tell you. Socialism comes from that type of thought. Think about it. Every time the people of God got into one place and they started having everything in common, and every man, you know, did this and did that,
but Jeff,
God always broke it up.
Most of the people called themselves Christians that came in. As a matter of fact, Christopher Columbus,
here we go,
must have been a Christian himself, because the land he came from, the Catholic religion ruled over.
Once again, the Catholic religion was not founded in Christianity originally.
Don't forget to remember the, I think there were a people who, there was a Indian people that some people came in, the Hispanics or the Portuguese people came in and took all the gold and everything from them and killed them.
Once again, you're talking about the Spanish Inquisition, and I have to stress this, and I'm not wanting to be offensive to my Catholic friends and listeners. I want you to understand where I'm coming from, because the Catholic Church was not established in Christianity. It was established in paganism. And because it was established in paganism, you have a lot of paganism wrapped up in the Catholic ways of doing things, their worship services, the praying to the saints that they said, praying to the dead. And there's never any such, no such command or instruction in the Bible. Just wasn't there. It's not there. And that's why people get confused about that. And see, like, I don't want to get, like I said, I don't want to get, you know, people upset, because, you know, they'll get upset about that because they're not ready to deal with that. But history is very clear. Even today, there is no such thing in Christianity called Easter. Why do we have Easter?
I don't know, Jeff.
Do you know who Easter is?
Not really.
The fertility goddess Ishtar. Okay? And that's why you have it in April.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
March or April, because that's when everybody's, you know,
that's beginning the springtime. Is to
right, right.
That's where the Easter egg came in at.
And the rabbit.
That's where. That has something to do with the goddess of fertility.
Thank you.
And
why do we celebrate the birth of Christ in December, on December 25th?
Because that was a day that many Christians set aside for.
No, sir, it is not.
I thought that had something to do with Christians. They know that that's not Christ's birthday, but yet they set that day.
The Catholic Church set that date. Had nothing to do with what was original. That's a pagan. It's another pagan holiday. And you know what they did? Well, they were noticing that the sun was coming shorter and shorter every day when they evidently started to realize they were met.
Superstition.
It's not superstition at all. This is what happened. This is a fact.
The Romans were
superstition. This is not about superstition. This was a fact. They thought that the sun was being eaten away or taken away. So they didn't know that, and they weren't thinking about that. That's not the point. What they did is they started cutting themselves and self, you know, I forgot what they call it when you do this, mutilating themselves, until they saw that the days started getting longer. And what's the shortest day of the year?
In the fall of the year and mostly in the winter.
Only shorter day. What's the shortest day of the year?
Shortest day of the year.
The shortest.
The shortest day of the year generally is around.
It's not generally. It's one day, always. December 21st. That's the equinox. It changes, and it starts going the other way where the days start getting longer.
Oh, I never knew that.
What? We'll be right back, afternoon with Tracy and friends. You can hang on, 216, you'll be next as well when we get back from our break here. Gotta go. Okay, see ya.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Youngstown, DNL Energy is looking to sell its assets in an auction. The company asked a federal bankruptcy court for permission to do that next month. DNL Energy filed for bankruptcy last April after its owner and another employee allegedly dumped tens of thousands of oil field waste in a storm drain. The company says the cleanup costs are the reason why they're filing for bankruptcy. The woman who says Youngstown's mayoral candidate, Demaine Kitchen, sexually harassed her, objects to the investigator hired to look into the claim. The city hired Steve Staple, a retired Summit County Sheriff's deputy, to do the job. An attorney for Lindsay Hughes, who filed the complaint, says Sample doesn't have enough experience. And the Austin Town Historical Society is donating a plaque to any home or building in the city that's 100 years old or older. The owners have to prove the age of the building. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Birthday celebration going on all month. 33% off window sale on any weathertight window you get. Plus, great savings on siding, roofing, entry and patio doors, kitchen cabinet refacing. All coming to you at special discounts, and we'll get it installed before the bad weather comes and definitely before the holiday. That means Thanksgiving. Way before that, we can get your windows installed in 15 days or less. All can be financed starting as low as $69 a month with no interest for 5 years. Plus, check myweathertight.com. More specials. Check us out with a BBB. We're proud of our A-plus rating. 26-plus years of satisfying thousands of customers says it all. So get off the fence. What are you waiting for? The only thing you get with a low-price window is a low price. Here's the number for the free estimate, 1-800-821-8483. That's 1-800-821-8483. And like always, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Merv and the Weathertights guarantee you'll be satisfied with Weathertight replacement windows for the life of your house.
Looking for the right car at the right price? Come on out to the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. There's over 300 unbeatable deals, like a 2013 GM-certified Chevy Impala from only $239 a month, and that's with zero down. Plus, we've even got 0% financing. That could save you thousands. Right now, our super lot has back-to-school specials from $119 a month, trucks and SUVs from $149 a month, and plenty of financing for everyone, all at the store that has just what you're looking for, the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem.
3.9% times 78 months plus tax. I don't want to.
Hack Steer and Company provides Salem with solid professional advice, coaching our clients with regards to business, tax, and estate planning, using our experience as well as technology to maximize your financial success. Roger Maris said the difference between mediocrity and success is preparation. You hit home runs not by chance, but by preparation. In business, the difference between surviving and succeeding is having the right team and coaches, as well as the determination to get to the top. When you're ready to improve your game, call Roger Hack, Steve Steer, or Wendy Saltzman today, or stop in at our offices, 2nd Street in Salem.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we are back, afternoon with Tracy and friends, talking to you about what's on your mind and giving you a little bit of what's on our mind. But I'm not going to, I'm going to get my caller in here because he was patiently waiting to get in. And I'm going to bring him up before I get on Ben. And bring sticks.
Wait a minute.
What?
Last week you were saying we were sharing the same chair. Now you want to get on me? I mean, what is this with you?
Oh, man.
You know, you're married.
Oh,
I don't go that way.
Here we go. 216. Let me shut off Ben's mic.
Thanks.
216, you're in the air.
Thank you for taking my call. So is Doom and Gloom coming in today? Are they both going to be in? Doom and Gloom, or just one of them?
We're all here. We're all here except Tracy.
Hey, now, wait a minute. I am not Doom and Gloom. I mean,
you're Doom. You're Doom.
You're only Doom.
I've got proof
you're only
that Doom is not anywhere near.
Six is Gloom.
Everything's you're back to normal. The Steelers won. The Browns beat themselves.
Ooh.
Okay.
No.
Right?
The Browns didn't beat themselves.
They didn't?
No. Whedon beat the whole
Thank
Cleveland
you.
Brown team by
Okay, now, wait a minute. Who's Whedon play for?
I don't know. He wasn't playing for us yesterday.
Yesterday, I almost thought he had a Steeler uniform on, but that's another story.
No, he had a doggone Detroit uniform on.
Yeah, the Lions.
That's who he was passing to, obviously.
Well,
they need to stop this mess.
On top of that, first episode of Walking Dead was on last night. And
great.
I am
love it.
I got my fill of mindless zombies. I no longer have to watch C-SPAN or President's Speech
or MSNBC.
Yes, there you go. So I'm back. I'm really doing good now.
All right, 216, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you got the whole crew in, so I hate to go back to the previous conversation, but I just briefly I'd like to defend Christopher Columbus, but first I wish you would do a show one day on like Mormons and, your view on the Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses, fringe Christians. That would be great if you did a show on that one day. Because a lot of people don't understand them. But let me defend the Catholic. I'm not Catholic, so I'm not here to beat up on you. But didn't they do a lot of that in order to get converts? Didn't they make Christmas and Easter at those times in order to attract heathens? I don't think Catholicism from that, did it? They did that in order to attract heathens.
That's what they told you.
Well, that as a Christian or as a Catholic, that's what we're taught. That's why we do this, and it comes from ancient pagan religions. But, the Yule log and everything else, the Christmas tree. But we don't worship the Christmas tree like the pagans used to. It symbolizes the birth of Christ now.
What does the tree have to do with the birth of Christ, though?
Well, God created the tree, right?
No, Ben, that's reaching.
Nothing.
It's called reaching.
It is. But, it's like I say, we're taught, what it is.
But at this
we don't worship the Christmas tree.
But at this point, Jeff, I think it's the same thing as Paul was talking about eating meat that's been
offered
to idols. It really doesn't mean anything anymore
nowadays.
Why waste the meat?
I agree with that because I think that those that are Catholics or that follow the Catholic religion, I think that they are my brother and sister in Christ because they believe in Christ. Now, and that's what is required for entry into salvation. It is not the days you're keeping and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. because you believe in Christ. I have a hard time with some of the other fringes, which I do understand. Mormonism is not Christianity at all.
Tell me the reason why.
Well, the only reason why is because of what they believe about him.
Let me make a statement. I want you to answer this. I want your thoughts on this. And this is what I believe. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God who, you know, died on the cross for your sins and was risen, you are a Christian, plain and simple. Everything else is fluff. If you believe, and don't the Mormons believe that?
I don't think they do.
No, I think
you have to get into their religion. See, because let me say it like this: Paul, Jesus,
and that's not entirely true either, caller, because Jesus said the demons believe and tremble.
Exactly, and also Paul said, if though a man or an angel come to you bringing you any other gospel, let him be accursed. So, in other words, Joseph Smith swears up and down he was given the Mormon religion by the angel Moroni or something like that.
Who gave him these ancient tablets that were dug up by the Indians.
That nobody ever saw.
Right. But no, and also I think it came out sometime in the 90s that they found a letter from one of the founding members of the
Mormon faith
saying that it's all a bunch of baloney. But
anyway, I don't know whether they really believe it, don't believe it, or anything like that. I just know that the Bible tells you clearly, if a man or an angel come preaching to you any other gospel, let him be accursed. You're not to follow that. So I can't go with it. So, I mean, that's neither here nor there, because we're looking at today, we're really talking about Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, you know we're fixing to get in a whole bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing way too much church radio.
Yeah.
We're going to have our heads on a
platter. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to cut back off it.
I draw the line to the Latter-day Saints. I mean, that's after Archie Manning and before Drew Brees. You know, that's where I draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
216, go ahead, man.
So let me, all right, let's get back to Christopher Columbus. And I'm not going to argue with you about Christopher Columbus, but you know, I mean, what he did was incredible. Whether he abused Indian, whether he wasn't the first, it was still amazing feats what he did. You know, you think of the times he was living and what he did and all the doubters and people were against him. And this guy had the courage to look for a passage to India. You know, he knew it was a long way. And what he did was amazing. And he did bring the New World into light, into Europe. Regardless of anything else you've said, Jeff, I mean, he has to get some credit for something. He did an amazing thing.
Well, he brought the New World to the European mind to recognize. And right now, the Europeans are the ones who are the world dominators. So you have to understand, there's plenty of history that is not from the European mindset. And once again, Eric the Red touched in North America, where we know he was there because of things he left hundreds of years before Christopher Columbus.
There's also stories of Irish peoples that sailed to the North America, and there's also some archaeological evidence that the Chinese landed on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't document it well enough.
And they're still there. Because Chinatown is up and popping.
Yeah, and again, I'm gonna give you all that. I'm going to grant you all that. But it's still, you can't take away from what Christopher Columbus did, though, in my opinion. He still should be revered. He should still have a day, even though everything he said is true, and still amazing what he did.
You know what's funny is that, you know, even back then they were trying to smear his name. You know, like in 1492 he came back and said, "Hey, listen, I discovered a new continent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's name it after another sailor, American Vespucci." You know, I mean, they were smearing his name back. Yeah, They were smearing his name back then.
Do you know why though? Christopher Columbus was a Jew.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Why would they call him Christopher?
Because he was don't forget that was during the Spanish Inquisition.
Jeff.
Oh really?
Jeff, are you sure about this?
Yes, I am very sure about this. They made everybody have a Christianized name because you were forced to belong to the church.
Why do the Catholic Italians revere him then? They say he's an Italian.
He's an Italian.
Okay, so
Let me tell you this. I had a friend. He was a Jew, but he had to change his name, and he was forced to be part of the Catholic Church. That's the only way you survived, because they were killing people that would not say that they were going to be Christians, just like the Muslims are saying, you either translate to Islam or die. That's what they're doing. And that's never been the will of God. Never been. So you know that that's not a Christian thing, per se. That is a very, very non-spiritual thing, because if your God is so weak that you have to force somebody to serve him, then, that's an issue. That's an issue. So that holds on those things, like I said.
That's right. I will take full responsibility for the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, you better give me some of that gold, man.
but I will also tell you that the Spanish Inquisition wasn't aimed at the Jewish population. It was aimed at the remaining Moors that were in
It was aimed at everybody, because they were making everybody that they came in contact with. Mm-hmm. You had to believe, and join the Catholic Church. That's why the bishops and all of those guys, they had small armies. They could take you down. Okay.
Is that why the Swiss Army is holier than their cheese?
It might be. It might be. They were using those little army knives too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were getting it in.
They got it covered.
They sure did. But these are the things. These are historical facts. And like I'm saying, I'm not one that reveres Columbus too much, and I did, of course, go along with it when I was a child because I didn't know any better. But as soon as I knew history and I knew the truth, well, then I said, oh, okay. Now I understand.
Well, up until the point of about Andrew Jackson, the North American experience with the Native Americans and the Europeans was a quite different experience than the South American
mm-hmm.
experience with the Europeans and the Native Americans there. And the biggest reason was the people, the Europeans that went to South America didn't take their families. The people that came to North America, by and large, were here to settle and
oh, yeah.
farm. And they weren't here to just pillage the land. And that is the huge difference between the North American experience and the South American experience.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the result was the same. The Indians died.
Well, no, it wasn't, though. The problem happened under Andrew Jackson. And the concept went from being divine, from divine providence to manifest destiny. And the attitude of the nation changed.
Mm-hmm.
Up until about that point, Americans believed that God was on our side because we were doing right. And after that point, we started to believe that God was on our side because we are who we are.
Absolutely.
And there's a difference when a civilization changes that mindset. Suddenly they can do no wrong in their own eyes. And that's when you came up with the Trail of Tears and all of that stuff. Up to that point, largely the Native American peoples and the Americans, and the Europeans that were here, the people of European descent, worked hand in hand. Andrew Jackson himself had an entire regiment of Native American soldiers under him during the War of 1812. A lot of people don't understand this.
That was pretty good.
And that's why the Native Americans, when he turned his back on them and did the Trail of Tears, were so... they were flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't understand what was happening to them.
Right. I'm going to say, so we're getting ready to go to break here, top of the hour breaking news. I guess where they are already. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. President Obama has scheduled a sit-down at the White House this afternoon for congressional leaders from both parties. As the nation crawls toward another debt crisis, ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
Don't get your hopes up. This is not described as a meeting to cinch a final deal. In fact, the White House says President Obama will use the mid-afternoon gathering with the four most powerful leaders in Congress to urge them to reopen the government and pay the nation's bills, something he has demanded for weeks.
Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says he's getting closer to a deal with Republican leader Mitch McConnell that would increase the nation's borrowing authority and end the two-week-old government shutdown. They'll talk about that at the White House this afternoon. A power surge this weekend at Xerox messed with the electronic debit cards that food stamp recipients use in 17 states. In some cases, they didn't work. In others, the electronic benefit transfer cards allowed people limitless spending on groceries and other items. Spring Hill, Louisiana Police Chief Will Lynn says at the Walmart in his town,
some folks walked out of there with $2,000 and $3,000 worth of groceries. They weren't getting one buggy. I mean, they were getting 8, 10, 12 buggies of groceries.
The system's now fixed. All 9 teenage boys who were reported missing from a rural New Mexico ranch for troubled kids have been accounted for. There had been allegations of abuse at the ranch. ABC's Clayton Sandell.
Ranch owner Scott Chandler has filed his own lawsuit calling the state investigation illegal, a witch hunt prompted by the death of an 18-year-old man killed last month when a ranch pickup truck rolled over. The ranch accuses the state of intimidating parents to pull their kids out of what they call a successful program to turn kids' lives around.
More people are riding the rails. Amtrak carried a record number of passengers during the past year. This is ABC News.
Marsha's identity thief wasn't a stranger. It was her best friend, her roommate. She put Marsha close to $100,000 in debt. Marsha ended up losing her home. A few years later, it almost happened again. But this time, she was armed with the proactive protection of LifeLock services. Shockingly, she again knew the thief trying to steal her identity. It was her son's friend, attempting to get a loan in Marsha's name. With LifeLock's help, Marsha was able to stop the fraudulent loan before it could damage her finances and good name. Marsha found out the hard way that identity theft has become so complex, you simply can't find it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't make the mistake of thinking identity theft will never happen to you. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. No one can prevent all identity theft.
The government shutdown now 2 weeks old, and business leaders are increasingly worried about the impact on the economy. ABC's Richard Davies takes a look.
If it drags on, the government shutdown will have an impact on new jobs. Michael Irwin of the employment firm CareerBuilder says both the shutdown and potential debt default are important.
Definitely have an impact on employers and if they're going to hire for the remainder of the year.
What about the impact of Obamacare?
We haven't seen hiring slow down because of it, but again, it's too early to tell.
If more people get health care coverage, that could add to some types of jobs.
We've seen healthcare hiring continue to go up. Companies are definitely realizing that they need to bring in, especially healthcare companies, need to bring in people.
Richard Davies, ABC News.
Microsoft is updating its Windows software for cell phones to accommodate larger devices and make it easier for motorists to reduce distractions while driving. Devices with the update will start appearing in the coming weeks. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Attention men, are you urinating often? Waking
Bosch up? Is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. And now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
My golden retriever Sundance is a lot more playful now. She has more pep and energy than I've seen in years.
tons of energy. Petey is having fun again. He's got a shiny coat and a good healthy weight.
Molly's been having 4 scoops a day. She pushes her little bowl all the way across the room, emptying every last single crumb. She has slimmed down and gotten this puppy look.
She's got life. She's got energy. She's got stuff to give.
We get asked all the time when we're at shows, how do you get your dog so healthy and shiny and glossy?
DinoVite.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa, the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Family will be on Dynavite for the rest of his life.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over the town. He's Sweet Jack, he's Sweet Jack, he's SweetJack.com. He searches in all places, really hot deals are what he chases. To get the best deals in your inbox, that's why he rocks.
We just got to get the corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And once again, we're back here on WSOM 600AM.com with Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. It is Sticks, Ben, and myself, Mr. Jeff, in the air chair.
No. We're not all in the chair with you.
Oh, God.
We've all got our own chairs.
We all have our own chairs, our own microphones.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know where.
Here we go there, too.
So.
We get callers call in, and then they don't want to wait.
Yeah, because they want they think you're in the chair with everybody.
No, they don't. Okay, but anyway, we're talking about those things. Tell that story, man, because you know I'm gonna be fiddling around over here right for a minute with this computer. So
the bonus army?
No, not the bonus army. Yeah, the bonus army that attacked Walmart and Giant Eagle.
Oh no, well, yeah. No, that was the lunch hunter army.
The lunch hunters. Got them some.
Yeah, it turns out that on Saturday, some people's EBT cards got shut clear off, but some people's had unlimited limits on it.
Wow.
And people were going into the grocery stores and loading up. I mean, they were walking out of there with thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And then when they finally figured out how to fix the glitch and they shut them off, people who were in the store, they just walked off and left their carts sit full
left
of
the
stuff.
Left the cart full. They didn't put the food back, nothing.
Right. No, but it's amazing. I mean, I almost think like these card holders, these government scam artists, are all in cahoots.
Thank you. And then, you know, the Republicans are getting this bad deal. They want to shut off stuff to poor people. And this, that. There's a lot of people that aren't poor that are taking advantage of this situation, and they're bleeding the system dry.
The thing is, if you're on steady EBT,
mm-hmm.
So you got another loading up coming next month. Why would you do this? Why would you go in and fill 4, 5, 6 carts full of stuff and walk out with it? It's food.
Because you're a greedy bastard and you should be shot.
No. There's no greed with poor people. There's no greed.
Oh,
okay.
It's only
rich Republicans.
Oh. It's been my opinion.
Ben.
Go ahead.
Ben, don't we know some pretty well-off people that pour a lot of money into the inner city of Youngstown?
Yes, we do.
Don't we?
Very generous people.
I was talking to somebody put a text on my thing. that's a fairy tale or something. We know several sets of people to do that. Am I correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay, they're not Democrats, are they?
No, they're Republicans, but they sit on the board of, you know, inner city charities like the Needle's Eye and a couple other.
I didn't want you to get specific because they don't.
Well,
like...
that's not specific. I'm not telling who they are, but
yeah.
I'm just telling you. And you know, they give quite handedly. They support charities. They support children's organizations.
Well. Getting money directly to the poor without going through the government. Am I correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
$5,000 checks, $10,000 checks, you know, at a time.
At a time.
But they're just trying to buy their way into heaven.
Oh, that's what
you got to understand. They're just trying to buy. They really don't care.
216, you're in the air, too.
Thanks. I want to go back to our previous conversation, if that's all right, before the break. I want to say something, and it's going to be controversial, and I'm not saying I believe this. I just want to throw it out there, so don't everybody hate me, about the manifest destiny and see the shining sea. You know, in the Bible, God did use the Israelites to conquer territory and slaughter everybody, man, women, and children, and animals, everybody. So my question is, do you think the world is a better place because of the United States of America, because of, and we got here, the way we got here was by, yeah, we brought slaves over, we slaughtered Indians, but
sure.
Was the final outcome a good thing? And this is going to be a terrible thing to say. Was it a good thing for black people? Because they became Christian, a lot of them.
I can't say it was a good thing for...
Go ahead. Yeah, you get the gist of my question. You get the gist of my question. Was the outcome, you know, justify the means, I guess. Looking back, here we are today, 2013. And if we hadn't done that, if we just sat back and did, you know, what would be here? A lot of heathen Indians running around? You know, I mean,
you can't call them heathen because they were many times more civilized than the people that came over.
Well, not heathen, but not Christian, you know.
Well, and you really can't say that either because the Indians believed in one God, and that concept came from a group of people called the Assyrians. So you have to understand that history that happened in the Middle East happened for a reason. And when God had people go into villages and kill up everybody, even the animals, that's because of an event that had happened that we don't really talk about in the Bible. Those people weren't quite human. Okay, they were half human, and that's why God had the children of Israel kill all of them.
Yeah, where's your proof for that? Where can you lead me to the Bible?
I can show you in Genesis.
You know,
where it tells you who a certain set of people are. Genesis 6 says that the sons of God came down, which are the fallen angels or people called the Watchers. And they came down and they saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they mated with them, and they created an offspring that were giants. These giants were anywhere from 9 foot tall up to 39 foot tall, and that's something we can't get to. We really can't get, although we have archaeological evidence of it. But it doesn't matter. People are afraid to believe in the supernatural. That's why the book of Enoch and the book of Jasher were taken out of the Bible by the Nicene Council because it didn't fit how they were controlling with this new thing called Christianity that they paganized primarily. So it didn't fit. They had to let those things go.
Well,
that's why God had them killed.
Wasn't it the Nicene Council that the council where they had to decide whether a non-Jewish person could become a Christian?
That's right.
Too. So
was God, and also was God the very God, a very God or not? There was several things up there.
Right, because even the Jewish religion early on had a worshipped Baal as well as a female.
Moloch, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob. The great guy, Bob.
Yes. I mean, not.
So back to my question, though.
Yeah, when they came out of Samaritan.
Back to the question. So about today, about the United States of America, did the means justify the ends?
Well, you can ask
Doom,
the same thing about the British Empire during the turn of the century.
Well, what good did they do? I mean,
we've
done a lot of good in the world, but we have really done a lot of good. This country has done tons of good, and if we weren't here,
listen,
this would not have been done.
Listen, there's a scripture that says something. Give you a quick Bible story. There's a gentleman by the name of Joseph who had dreams that he was going to be the ruler one day, and his brothers got ticked with him, and they acted like they were going to kill him, but instead of killing him, they sold him. Okay, and then his father was brokenhearted, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, Joseph was sold to the king of Egypt, and when he went to be the king of Egypt, he was so smart and could interpret dreams, this, that, and other. The king made him second in command. He also saw that there was going to be a famine, and he prepared Egypt for the famine. His brothers who sold him into slavery, they were in the land of famine. They had to come down to Joseph, and sure enough, just as he had dreamed that he was going to be over his brothers, there his brothers were bowing down before him asking for grain. And he brought them all down and took care of them. And he said, you meant this for evil, what you did to me, but God meant it for good. So understand that for every situation that happens, God is going to get a glory out of it that is going to point to him. He's going to have and show you salvation in everything that happens, even in total destruction of certain things and certain people. You have to understand who God is. God made everything. He's not playing around with us. He's showing us the truth, and he loves us, but we don't know who he is, so we sort of keep him at arm's length. You know, well, God, yeah, I believe in you, but I don't know what I want to get too close.
I'll go to church, but I ain't going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I'll show up just for the holidays.
So if Columbus had not discovered these Americas, what do you think it would look like today?
Probably the same thing. He really didn't discover America. He came in way down south of Florida.
Well, you know, that's just like asking, you know, what happens if technological advances never took place? Because, I mean, you know, as you know, I mean, we're going to make new discoveries on Mars here pretty soon. And we'll probably colonize it within the next, what, century and a half.
Oh no! Before that, they're talking about 2050 going.
Yeah, that's
going
like asking, well, if we never colonize Mars,
the dollar doesn't collapse.
Right?
What if the dollar doesn't collapse?
Well, the dollar's going. The dollar's down. It's done. The dollar is done.
Here's my question in all this. When European people migrate to another part of the world, it's a bad thing. But when any other race of people migrates any place else on the planet, there's no problem with that. That's basically what they're saying, because
well, you know why.
People have been migrating and taking land. Human beings have been doing that for a millennia. But all of a sudden now it's a horrible that the Europeans are the ones that did it.
Because they're peeing everywhere.
Well, plus it's more recent. It's more recent history, maybe, is why. But it's been going on since the beginning of man. You know, one group conquering another.
Right. I mean, up until capitalism and free markets and people learning to deal with each other through money, if you wanted something somebody else had, you just went and took it from them. If you had. I'm not hearing you.
I'm always
there.
Changing,
we go.
Always changing seats here, but I guess what I was trying to say is that if you've got the power, you've got the military might behind you. You don't really need money back in those days.
Yeah, and if the United States was so evil, why after World War I and World War II did we just hand everything back?
Hand it back? We made it better for them. We built infrastructure, rebuilt
the Marshall Plan.
Right. I mean, exactly. Well, the Marshall Plan, I can see, but you know, we did that to defeat an enemy we saw coming over the horizon. I mean, we saw what communism was all about. We knew that the only way we can keep Western Europe from falling was the Marshall Plan.
Well, we almost fell into communism. I mean, FDR was there, man.
The Nazi Party was pretty strong here in America.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
well,
Hitler was
Time's Man of the Year.
Yeah, just like Obama.
And you know, well, no, they Roosevelt thought Hitler was doing a great job. Hitler and Mussolini both, and then they started to discover the gas chambers, and his advisors say, "Hey, Mr. President, I think you ought to back off of this whole Hitler's a great guy thing."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many what ifs you can play with when it comes to history. What if,
yeah,
you know,
well,
Columbus?
What if the South never would have attacked? Well, no. What if they never would have attacked Fort Sumter? Consider this. I secede. I put troops on my border, and I just sit there. I let you resupply your fort in Fort Sumter. As long as you don't fire on ships coming in and out of the port, we don't do anything. If the North, I think if the North would have become the aggressor in world opinion, that because of the need for the cotton in the
British
cotton mills,
you're right.
I think the British would have jumped right in on the side of the South.
Yeah, that's another big what if.
It's a huge what if.
You know.
But then again, let's go down this conspiracy train. What if Lincoln paid off somebody to fire on Fort Sumter?
Then he was a very smart man. I mean, yeah, because, you know, we know now, you know, by inscriptions found in his watch, you know, recently, that his whole schmeal was ending slavery. He didn't really care about keeping the Union together, although that was it. It wasn't really about the economy for him. He wanted to free, he wanted slavery to be outlawed. That's what he wanted. So, I mean, what if? Yeah, we can play the what-if game with everything. I mean, seriously, think about it. I mean, we could be speaking German right now, you know, if Hitler let his armies run the war instead of himself.
And I'll tell you what else, man. Slavery was very evil, but the South, they were the states' rights group, which is what we want today.
Exactly.
Lincoln and the North are really the ones that turned, well, I don't know if they're definitely the ones, but they...
Well,
there's a line in the second National Treasure movie, and I don't know whether it's true. I haven't really researched it, but Nicolas Cage's character said, "Prior to the Civil War,
your car will look brand new after
right time.
Right
go
back.
Go.
The USOM 600, Tracy and friends, listen to our commercials and support these people.
You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular watch. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard."
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The pool couple of.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Like ETI Technical College, creating quality programs in demand fields.
with options that save you time and money.
We offer several different programs, law, business, medicine, web design, accounting, some skilled trades. We give the students an opportunity to focus the curriculum solely around their area of interest, trimming away a lot of the fat, you know, saving them time, saving them money. Two things as you get older, you're going to wish you had more of. It's time and money. And a college like ETI is able to save you both.
Putting America and our valley back to work. To find out how your business can be a part of our program, call 330-783-1000. That's 330-783-1000.
Steering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
Obama gives this speech and he drones on and on and on about the future, about his vision. State of the Union speech. He's talking about the future. He's painting a picture. He's creating an image. If we just had more taxes, if we just had more government, more programs, more departments, more agencies, if we just had more, paradise would be here.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're back once again. Jeff, Ben, Sticks, and all our callers. I wanted to, here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, I wanted to make sure that 216, I want you to, if you can hear us, take this name down, these two names. A gentleman by the name of L.A. Marzulli, M-A-R-Z-U-L-L-I, or the name of a guy named Stephen Quayle. Stephen is T-H-E-P-H-E-N, last name Q-U-A-Y-L-E. And that'll answer some of those questions about early, you know, the early historical Bible. That they'll answer those questions for you and, you know, explain some things that really is fantastic. So
when they decided the early Bible, A, B, C, D writers, that's how they classified them. They figured there were four or five major writers of the early Bible.
Oh, really?
Or time periods. They can tell by the way that the words are phrased together that, you know, this came from this period in Jewish history because
how
they spoke at this time. And, you know, like language changes.
Sure.
You know, we don't use the D and thou
anymore.
D
and thou, yeah, right.
Yeah, but, yeah, so I think they've decided there were four major periods that
they still use it on the Quaker Oaks box. Nothing is better for thee than me.
Nothing is better for thee than me. That sounds like an Obama saying.
You're incorrigible, man. You are incorrigible.
I mean, but isn't that what he's telling America population right now?
Yes.
I mean, seriously, is there any difference there?
Well,
nothing is better for thee than me.
All I want to bring attention to is that that situation with that card. This is what people have been screaming about, and I know that they meant it to try to upset people on a weekend so they'd be all fired up and ready to call Tuesday morning to say, "Where my card went off," and you know, so they'd have another story to tell people. I told people that people were still getting their welfare, and that the government did not stop that. But no, everybody went, "Oh no, it's just poor people that can't get their cards. They're not going to get this, that, and other." Listen, listen, I understand the poor people need to be serviced, but the president could write an executive order at any moment and say, this is something we're going to fund during the shutdown, and it will be funded. Has nothing to do with Republicans stopping it, because the Republicans didn't stop it.
Only.
18 times the government was stopped under Reagan, I found out.
Only 13% of the government is shut. 87% of the government, 87% of the government still wide open.
Wide open.
And this whole talk about defaulting is just making me insane, because the only way the United States defaults is if the president says it's going to default, because under the 14th Amendment, the government is not allowed to default. They have to pay the debt first.
Well, you know what?
That's laid out in the Constitution, 14th Amendment.
Yeah, but it sticks. Seriously. I mean, how many other of the constitutional amendments did this president break with executive order?
First, second,
okay,
third,
keep on going. Yeah,
fourth,
so, I mean, he cares nothing about America or the Constitution, you know, that governs America, because he's continuously stepped on it, even after swearing during his oath of office.
I do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution. Not
right.
Me. I'm sorry. I supported or
right.
I made a
I mean,
oath
this
to defend
is why I think every military man across the nation, his duty is to arrest the president and try him for treason,
well,
because
he's
done it.
But you know what? This is the thing. Don't forget now. Now I'm saying that I think that he has gone over that line several times, but. Don't forget.
He erased it.
He sure did. But he also fired every conservative general we had.
His cabinet consists of nobody who has any private sector experience. Nobody.
I bet you some of them still get.
We got one guy from here who does have a whole lot.
But he's not in the cabinet.
Yeah, he is.
That's not a cabinet level office.
Yeah, yeah, he had to be voted. He had to go before Congress.
But it's still not a cabinet level office.
Yeah, he's the assistant director of what is it? Not finance, but
they used to call him the car czar.
Yeah, but that's still. I mean, he may have had to approve, but there's only what, 7 or 8
cabinet members.
Cabinet members.
The Secretary of State's a cabinet member.
Secretary of Defense.
Yes.
Secretary of the Treasury.
I got to find it.
For the rest of them, watch The Walking Dead. I mean, C-SPAN.
I heard that too. But here it is. This is what's going on now in the country. That's what's going on.
There are 15 cabinet secretaries.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary of State, Treasury, Defense, Justice, Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, Labor, Health and Human Services, Urban Development, Transportation, Energy, Education, Veterans Affairs, Homeland Security.
Well, we know they failed at about 5 or 6 of those just this last week, so...
Yeah, no doubt.
Our borders are wide open, so Homeland Security guys should be replaced.
Well, I think we need to close it. I think we need to close the Transportation Safety Administration, the Department of Homeland Security. Doesn't that sound? Doesn't that Soviet to you?
No, it sounds
Gestapo.
Doesn't
that sound Soviet? Yeah,
that's what Gestapo means, Homeland Security.
I mean, that phrase just sounds Soviet or totalitarian to me.
Yeah, Fatherland Security there.
Yeah.
Right?
It's...
Yeah, well, he wanted his private army, remember?
That's right.
Said it in a speech. He wants a private army that rivals the U.S. Army, and that's because, well, that's what Hitler did, too. I think that's his idol, Adolf. I mean, I bet you somewhere he's got a statue of Adolf there, because he gave back the one of Churchill.
Well, now let's not go that far.
I'm going to go that far. Why would you give back the statue?
I would say more. He's got a statue of Stalin. rather than Adolf.
No, because he's more Adolfian than Stalinist.
Adolfian?
Yeah, because seriously, I mean, you read his books. I mean, he's more. He's socialism. He's not full blown communism. Although, you know, yes, there's a lot of socialism within communism.
Ben, you just don't know your history. Adolf Hitler was a free market guy. He was a free market right wing, you know, libertarian. Don't you know your history?
Yeah, I guess I don't. Yeah.
Jeez,
no, man.
There's a reason.
How many Jews he saved by baking them?
Just because Nazi means National Socialist, don't let that get in the way of anything.
Though. Oh, don't let that
let
that get in the way because you know it automatically people like I said I deal with things on Facebook, and I'll be in my car sitting waiting for something. And I read some of the posts, and I can't really respond on my phone. You know, you're sitting there with that little keyboard and everything. I can't respond, but I can't believe people believe the things that they believe.
It's basically because they don't know history.
Not only do they not know history, they don't know how the United States works. If they knew how it worked, they wouldn't have they wouldn't say the things that they say. And then their big thing now, I can't wait till the midterm so that we can vote all the Republicans out of office. You do not want that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you that right now. Don't want that. Yeah.
Our good friend Diva doesn't even understand the Constitution was written to protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority.
Yeah, this is true.
And over again in the Federalist Papers, they explained to the people why the Constitution was going to be all right, because at the time, the other 11 states were scared to death of the power that New York and Virginia could wield.
Right.
And it's lost on people. It's lost on it's like this stuff isn't even taught in history class anymore.
That's like I said. How many Jews voted Adolf into power, helped him get power, and then he turned on them?
Well,
how many blacks helped Obama take power? And I think he's turned on them.
He ain't turned on them. He just never done anything for them.
Wow.
You know what I heard the other day? This is what got me. The health care bill, who's the number one set of people that it's going to benefit?
I would probably say the Mexican population, because they're so big
there
now.
You're absolutely correct. Ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. You get the award for.
Well, I'm a Republican. I have common sense.
Yeah, but. That doesn't mean anything, because some of our Republican brothers and sisters that are out there right now are looking really stupid. So. Don't say that. Don't say that just because you're Republican.
I'm a conservative.
Conservative is better.
How about that?
Yeah, conservatives think. This is what gets me. And you know, last night a guy just told me, well, you know, they just hate Obama because he's black. They don't know what he proposes, how radically different it is from what the United States has been involved in before. But they just telling me, and I mean, I get people angry with me.
Do I hate Nancy Pelosi because she's a woman?
You must do.
And I hate Harry Reid. Why?
He's a Mormon.
Oh.
You have a reason for that.
I have a reason for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, even though I don't drive for NASCAR, I'm a racist.
Yes.
I want to back this up to the civilian the private army thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the city of Alliance, Ohio, have an armored personnel carrier?
Are you serious?
I'm telling you. Yesterday, my wife and I, or Saturday, excuse me, my wife and I were going down to Sugar Creek to meet the in-laws.
Right.
And they had a big thing at the Ford garage there on State Street in Alliance, and the police department had their stuff out, and the fire department. They got a Humvee and an armored personnel carrier, and they got police on them.
I wonder, is that one of the 2,500 that the Obama administration made to fit the streets of America?
I don't know. Hey, I got that audio right here if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear it. What you got?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
I'll start it again.
Yeah, do that up louder. I want everybody to hear this.
Gestapo.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
For what?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Where in the Constitution does it say anything about a civilian security force?
Well, the Second Amendment says something about a state militia, which is sort of made up of private citizens.
I believe under the Constitution, if we were actually following it, the United States of America is not to have a standing army. The only department set out in the original Constitution was the Department of the Navy. That's why the Marine Corps
was created
under the Navy, because they were land troops under the Navy. The only time the United States of America is supposed to have a standing army is in time of war, and because the state militias, the president is allowed to mobilize the state militias. If you look at the Civil War, there were very few U.S. regulars.
Nope, there was the 5th Pennsylvania, the 2nd Ohio, and,
it was all state militia, that was federalized.
Mm-hmm. But I will say this, in this day and age, with the way the world is today, you know as well as I do, Sticks, we need a standing army.
I don't know.
You're going to need one.
The way it's going.
The cards go down again.
That's what bothers me. The way it's going is I'm afraid we're developing a Republican Guard. I mean, it's already been said that the president has fired every general that was a strict constitutionalist.
Yeah, but I still think, like I said, there's somebody in the Pentagon or somebody somewhere running something, and the president, even though he, got Petraeus, I still think there's somebody in there that's conservative running things, because they haven't given him carte blanche control of the military. I mean, if they would, Gitmo would have been closed down.
Well, I don't think so. I think he knows that he can't let Gitmo close down. Well, we'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Youngstown, DNL Energy is looking to sell its assets in an auction. The company asked a federal bankruptcy court for permission to do that next month. DNL Energy filed for bankruptcy last April after its owner and another employee allegedly dumped tens of thousands of oil field waste in a storm drain. The company says the cleanup costs are the reason why they're filing for bankruptcy. The woman who says Youngstown's mayoral candidate, Demaine Kitchen, sexually harassed her objects to the investigator hired to look into the claim. The city hired Steve Staple, a retired Summit County Sheriff's deputy, to do the job. An attorney for Lindsay Hughes, who filed the complaint, says Sample doesn't have enough experience. And the Austin Town Historical Society is donating a plaque to any home or building in the city that's 100 years old or older. The owners have to prove the age of the building. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
From the first shots fired at the Battle of Concord in 1775, this great country was founded on personal freedom and the private ownership of firearms. In keeping with that tradition, National Armory is working hard to support your Second Amendment rights. Visit National Armory, now at the old Buckeye Firearms location, in Streetsboro, Austintown, and Rogers.
Don't miss the fall savings going on now at Harbor Pet Center. Restock your tropical fish tank with 99-cent tetras. All puppies are $100 off the original price. All puppies are vet-checked and have had all their shots. Harbor Pet Center has over 40 breeds of puppies available, all of which come with our purchase warranty, prepaid vet visits, and health certification. Harbor Pet Center prides itself in the personal attention we give to each and every one of our puppies. And we want to help you find the puppy that's best for you and your home. Call 330-758-4950 or stop by today for money-saving offers on cats, birds, small animals, reptiles and amphibians, pet food and supplies, aquariums and supplies, pet toys, and much more. Like 40-pound Sport Mix adult chunk dog food, only $22.99. Harbor Pet Center, 7338 Market Street in Boardman, behind Five Guys. Visit harborpetcenter.com for money-saving coupons. Harbor Pet Center, we've got the pets.
In sports, free agents are free to find a team that offers the best deal. That's why Grange only sells their coverages through independent insurance agents, They're free to find the best team to protect your auto, home, or business.
Crabb Insurance Agency considers Grange their go-to company for their combination of great value and outstanding claim service. Call Crabb Insurance at 330-332-1586 or visit their website at crabinsurance.com.
Products not available in all states.
You're listening to the new home for the Sean Hannity Radio Show, News Talk 600 WSOM.
News Talk 600 is working to help put our valley back to work. We've come together with local employers and training centers to connect job seekers with potential new openings and new careers. Visit our website and click on Features. That's where you'll find links to local companies and training centers, and you can even submit your resume right online. Putting our valley and America back to work. Visit 600WSOM.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and friends, Jeff in the air chair, and Ben and Sticks in their separate chairs over on the other side of the table. How about that?
I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
Here on WSOM 600 AM, they're so concerned about their manhood. I mean, they're a little scared of of reaching on their feminine side. So we have to make sure that they are introduced properly.
No, wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait, I admit I'm a Steeler fan. That's as close as I'm going to get to my feminine side.
No, I can't stand my quarterback. I like your quarterback more than I like my own quarterback. How about that?
Well, yeah.
And I don't like I like two people on your team.
Well,
Troy and Ben.
Yeah. Why do you like Troy so much?
Because that boy fly through the air and get people.
Super Troy.
Oh my God, man! I saw him fly up over. He timed perfectly the snap of the ball.
Yeah.
And he was in the air, grabbed the quarterback before he could even get back two steps.
Yeah.
I said, that boy bad.
He can intercept the handoff.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's fast.
I know.
But and strong.
He's
a big
cat. He's lost the speed, though. He got burned on a couple plays yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
How much of that can you take and for how long, you know?
Yeah, he's in the twilight of his career.
I would say.
God bless him, though.
He's paid, so he's all right. 330-831, you're in there.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm calling because I wanted to know if any of you seen the group of speakers, senators. I don't know when it was, when they really were there, but it was FRC, and I wanted to know what it stood for. And then I want to know, if Tim Scott from South Carolina, Rand Paul, the one from Florida, the senator from Florida, Matthew Wyking. Okay, he was speaking. I want to know if you guys seen it and heard it. It was on C-SPAN 2, I think, and I think they were broadcasting it. I don't know when it was actually done. But what does FRC stand for, if any of you know? And then the other thing was I wanted to ask Sticks if they've taken the meetings back up on Tuesdays and if they've changed anything in Salem. Because I have a couple ladies that would like to come with me, and we wanted to know if you guys were still meeting there. So I'll hang up and listen to the answers. Thanks. Bye.
Well, as far as our little group in Salem that meets on the first Tuesday of the month, we ran into a glitch. We're looking for a place to meet now. We've lost the church. So we're in the process of looking.
Go to the gun range.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
That makes perfectly good sense to
me. That's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea.
Thank you. Yeah. What's that?
Great minds think alike.
Yes. And Bonnie, you sure you weren't watching The Walking Dead last night? It was the same to me.
I know it can't be the FRC that they're talking about unless it was negatively. The FRC would be the Family Research Council.
It could be the Family Research. They had the Values Voters Summit. I bet you that's what it is because they had the Values Voters Summit this weekend.
Okay.
So that would probably be one of the sponsors if it had an FRC background to where they were speaking, that would make sense to me. Family Research Council. But yeah, the Values Voters Summit was this weekend. They had Glenn Beck spoke there, Senator Cruz, Senator.
Yeah, that'd be Ted Cruz from.
Ted Cruz from Texas.
Texas.
And Mike Lee from Arizona, is that right?
And those are all conservatives, right?
Yeah, Tea Party.
They're libertarians.
Yeah.
Libertarians.
Pretty much.
Yeah. The only person on the list that I thought was kind of odd was Mike Huckabee.
Okay.
Because he's more of a progressive kind of guy than.
He is. I was so surprised about that. But at the same time, you know, like I said, these guys are taking in hit after hit. And what bothers me is they don't defend themselves, really. Republicans never defend themselves or their brand. And they let people call them racist. They let people call them names, this, that, and other. And it really is frustrating. 330-692, you're in air.
Mike Huckabee doesn't believe in evolution. I don't know how you can call him a progressive. You guys like conspiracy theories a little bit on this show. And I got one. I don't know if it's a conspiracy. It's just an interesting question that I'll float to you guys and see what you guys think. Okay. The Federal Reserve has been buying up government debt through quantitative easing now for several years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
At the tune of $84 billion a month at each 10-year Treasury auction every month, okay?
Okay.
Now, everyone argues, China controls so much, owns too much of our debt, and Japan owns too much of our debt, okay? China owns one. You there?
Yeah.
China owns $1.6 trillion of United States debt. Japan owns, like, don't quote me, it's like 1.2 to 1.4, something like that, trillion dollars of government debt. China is the number one sovereign country that owns our debt. The Federal Reserve now owns $3 trillion+ in government debt. Okay? If the government were to default, all right, they would be the first in line to get hit or at least to make claims. Okay? They're the biggest. So number one, what does that say? The federal government, or the Federal Reserve, I should say, is never going to stop buying because they can't afford a collapse. Number one.
What happens,
number two. Okay, go ahead.
But what happens, economics is physics. What happens when the dollar is worthless? I did some figuring last week. In gold, you can buy the exact same number of barrels of oil in gold today as you could in 1969, as you could in 1913. But in dollars, the average wage, it's less than half of what you could buy with the average wage in gold or in oil, is what you could in 69 or today. So what's happening is, they can print money forever, but your money's getting more worthless, which means your dollar per hour in labor is getting worth less and less all the time, so pretty soon you're going to be working for zero.
You're half right there, I think, because you're caught. The value of labor is a commodity, and the value of labor is going down definitely, but not just because they're inflating the dollar, because the Federal Reserve actually in 1945, and up until Korea, the Federal Reserve bought every single bond that was issued by the government and owned a larger percentage of debt in 45 to 51 than they do now. And what they did was, is when bond prices, see, right now they're artificially keeping bond yields down, and people don't want to yield 2.69%. It should be released and float upward, okay? And when it does, they'll start selling their government bonds into the market like they did in 51, and then theoretically they'll have less and less government debt on their balance sheet. Right now they have $3 trillion, okay? So they owned more of a percentage of the government in 51 than they do now, and the dollar did not collapse then. I don't think the dollar – I'm saying if you guys are conspiracy theorists and like the Illuminati, the rich control everything, the rich aren't going to allow the dollar to collapse because their wealth is tied up into the dollar as well.
No, listen, you don't understand. The elite of the world are going to cause the dollar to fail so they can replace it. And they're going to replace it with a currency that can be widely used.
I'm going to read you the minutes of a meeting between Governor of the Federal Reserve, Marinus Eccles, and Patman, who was Congressman Patman. This was explaining how the Federal Reserve makes money. Eccles, we created it. Patman, out of what? Eccles, out of the right to issue credit money. And there is nothing behind it. There is nothing except our government's credit. Eccles, that is what our money system is. If there were no debts in our money system, there wouldn't be any money. It's all based on smoke and mirrors since the Federal Reserve was put in place. We went from an asset-based currency to a debt-based currency. And pretty soon, when nobody wants to accept your debt anymore, it goes belly up. You cannot print dollars forever.
But what happens is the Fed keeps
hyperinflation
buying.
Hyperinflation is what happens. Hyperinflation is what happens.
Yes.
We saw it in the Weimar Republic. We saw it in Zimbabwe. And we're going to see it in the United States if we don't do something right now.
Argentina, we saw it in Argentina.
The nation and saying that we're paying our MasterCard with our Visa and it's not going to put us any deeper in debt. Now, how stupid is that?
But the problem is, I get you, Argentina was the most recent, okay? But the way governments get out of debt is they hyperinflate, okay? Because if they owe China X amount of dollars, okay, but they inflate their dollars, then China's debt becomes worth less, not worthless, but worth less. And it's easier for us to pay them off because we just print more dollars. That since every country in the world is on fiat currency, and every country, that's how they get out of debt, is overinflate their currency. That's what we're going to do. You are correct.
And
inflation is coming.
Who gets destroyed? And who gets destroyed when you go into hyperinflation?
The middle class and
the
poor.
The population gets destroyed.
Fixed income people, the retirees, people who cannot increase their wages.
Middle class Americans, the average guy working in a factory because his wages do not keep up.
And whose fault is that, though? Because you want to keep a minimum wage down. You guys are constantly arguing.
I want a stable currency. That's what I want, because a stable currency is the answer. The gold standard is the answer.
No. If you had a gold standard, you would never have growth because there's not enough gold.
You're wrong. You're wrong because the price of goods and services would be in what they call benign deflation, which meant every year you worked, your dollar would be able to buy more and more goods and services. It happened.
How?
It happened from 1789 to 1913. If you look, a Model T sold for $400 less the last year of production than it did the first, while wages rose. That is what a stable currency does for the middle class of the United States of America.
Unless you're planning on finding an asteroid with a ton of gold on it, the gold standard cannot work in the current system. Go ahead.
Ask Russia, will the gold standard work?
Ask China.
Ask
Brazil.
As they are hoarding gold right now. And here's the other thing. We haven't found all the gold that's findable. And that's something else you have to understand. But understand this, too. These people are controlling the way business is done in the world, and they're changing currencies. Why do you think they made the euro? And why didn't Germany want to even join in with them?
Look at the phenomenon of Bitcoin. The phenomenon of Bitcoin is based on a gold standard. There are only the algorithm only introduces so many new Bitcoins into the system every year as approximately the amount of gold is discovered in the world in a year.
That's not true.
And look at what happened with that.
Bitcoin, well, first of all, Bitcoin is not a currency, okay? First of all, it's not a currency, all right? But number, but it does not fit the definition of a currency because you, but number two, Bitcoin has a finite number. There's a finite number, and you cannot mine anymore. I looked into
it. Whoa, time to go to break.
Hey, we got to go to break. That caught me by surprise. You guys are going at it. Hey, I invite you to come back after the top of the hour news. We'll talk back on the other side. Afternoon, Tracy and Friends.
Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Signs of hope emerging in Washington. President Obama has invited House and Senate leaders to the White House about an hour from now to try to resolve the impasse that's kept parts of the government shut down for 2 weeks now. The president speaking at a soup kitchen in D.C.
My hope is that the kind of spirit that is shown by all these outstanding volunteers is going to carry over in the meeting with the leadership this afternoon. They can solve this problem today.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Emerging from a meeting with his Republican counterpart Mitch McConnell, top Senate Democrat Harry Reid told reporters there's progress, but no agreement.
We're continuing to work on it. It's not done yet.
Aides on both sides tell ABC News they're still optimistic about the prospect of a deal, even a short-term agreement, to avoid default. But as they head into White House talks, the two sides are still apart on whether to replace the automatic cuts that resulted from the last debt crisis 2 years ago. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
A worker at the new San Francisco 49ers stadium under construction was killed today in a workplace accident. He was hit by rebar. Tens of thousands of cattle died in the South Dakota blizzard that swept the state a week ago. Ranchers were caught off guard. Those cattle being buried today. Sylvia Christian with the State Stock Growers Association.
The cattle didn't have a lot of hair or heavy coats on yet. They were not protected by nature, protected from the weather yet. Then we had a lot of rain that led this storm, so the cattle were soaked to the bone.
A six-year-old boy drowned in a pool aboard a Carnival cruise ship in the Caribbean. His 10-year-old brother was with him at the time. Fellow passengers tried CPR, but the boy couldn't be revived. Police in London arrested a man who tried to dart through a gate at Buckingham Palace today with a knife. Just a month ago, police arrested two men in a suspected break-in at the palace. This is ABC News.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
A new study suggests high levels of the chemical BPA could make some women more likely to have a miscarriage. ABC's Scott Goldberg.
BPA is a chemical commonly found in plastics that store food and beverages. When it's ingested, it can have a weak hormone-like effect, and it's been removed from baby bottles and many reusable drink containers. Still, tests show most people have BPA in their systems, and this new research says the chemical might increase the risk of miscarriages in women who are prone to having them or have trouble getting pregnant. The study's being presented at the American Society for Reproductive Medicine's annual meeting and doesn't prove a link between BPA and miscarriages, but rather a biological plausibility. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
St. Jude Medical says it's received European approval to market the first wireless pacemaker. The NanoStim pacemaker, implanted directly into the heart using a catheter procedure. St. Jude is still doing testing required before requesting U.S. approval. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. Our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite helps them obtain that better nutrition that is hard to find in commercial foods.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil.
The seaweed. The kelp.
They don't shed as much, and they're all over very healthy dogs.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back once again. Afternoon with new Tracy and Friends. Just Sticks and I sitting here across the table from one another, since, you know, people do.
Yeah.
Ben was all upset about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're talking to you about what's on your mind, and I want you to talk to us, you know, about what's on our mind. You know.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Let's check your memory. Remember this? Good plan. Good plan.
Yes,
good
I sure do. Wow, Sticks. Man.
Man left us, he's good and plenty.
You're making my age, man. That's my age. Let me get a couple of those. Why they got good and plenty's in the studio? You know we're not allowed to have this stuff in here.
No food in the studio.
Oh, man.
Oh, anyways.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
So,
man, I remember that.
We're doing a good job of causing hate and discontent in Mahoning Valley.
Yeah,
it?
I guess we are, because, you know, you get me. Man, why you come on my Facebook page and get it all stirred up?
Oh, I love to start.
And then
they call me Mr. Maytag. You know why?
What's that?
What's that thing in the washing machine goes backwards and forwards?
It's an agitator.
Well, no, I was just showing people what a Democrat president does when the veterans get out of line. That's all.
It's
happened
like
before.
That. Look at this. I told them there were 17 shutdowns in the past so many years. Democrats caused 15. I was incorrect on my number because they had 18 times the government was shut down by the Democrats during Reagan's presidency. But so I asked my people, where were you when the place was getting shut down then? And they can't say anything, and they leave it alone. They just won't post. But then you'll see some other stupid post a little bit later, you know, about, you know, I erased a bunch of them off of mine. I erased a bunch because it's just stupid. Just stupid. But anyway, I know people think of a certain thing. Here's one. When JFK is speaking, you cannot negotiate with people who say what's mine is mine and what's yours is negotiable.
Well, I don't know. When did the president become anti-union? Because it appears to me the Republican Party's on strike, and I thought he was always for the union people that went on strike.
But did you see that statement?
Yeah.
What are the Democrats doing?
They're taking their ball and going home.
And they're saying what's mine is mine, and what's yours is negotiable.
Right. Because
we want to take what it is. And so this fits them, but that's thrown at me, supposedly, because they think it fits the what's going on with the Republicans.
Really, from what I understand, well, the first thing is our president's an absolute fool because he says we can pay the MasterCard with the Visa and not get any deeper in debt.
Of course.
So that's just a foolish statement.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, the only thing that the Republicans are asking for right now, as far as I know, is they want to do away with the medical device tax, which is a device tax on people with spinal cord injuries and heart problems. And they want to just back off of this thing for a year so you can get it fixed so people can actually get on the website and sign up.
I think they cannot do the tax, one, because they're giving so many doggone furloughs from it. That you know, they don't have enough money.
There's nobody left to pay the bills.
That's what I'm saying. They don't have anything. How are you going to take the unions out? How are you going to take?
Well, 1,200 entities have been excluded, and they're all high dollar entities.
I'm sure they are.
You know, it ain't no mom and pop shops getting a reprieve from this.
No. And see, so we get screwed. Like I told everybody was going to be in the first place. See, people that don't have anything right now and don't make any money. They'll be okay because they didn't have anything in the first place. This is like getting a shot at the arm.
They said on average, a 25-year-old male is going to pay $350 a month in premiums with a $5,000 deductible.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that's $8,000 a year. In fact, I saw one report that the gentleman said that even when he got his subsidy back, it was still going to cost him twice as much a year than he was paying now.
Right?
It's insane.
It's totally insane. But they keep pushing for it, and nobody's asking why on the other side. They just want to win.
Well, I know.
They want to win.
Well, this is designed to destroy the private health care system in the United States.
Yeah, it's going to do it.
It's going to destroy all the charities, all the medical charities. The Cleveland Clinic's Cleveland Clinic has a huge endowment.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I went up there one time for some treatment, and I got my bill, and with your bill they send a statement saying if you need assistance, here's what you have to do. And on that statement it said if you were a family of four without health insurance making $85,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
$85,000 a year in Northeast Ohio, folks, is a lot
mm-hmm.
of money,
mm-hmm.
you were eligible for assistance from the Cleveland Clinic Foundation.
Got a kick in the pants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me there was a health care crisis in this country. And I'm sorry. You know, it may sound callous, but yes, you should be allowed to go bankrupt for health care reasons. Because if you accept services from somebody, you should have to pay for them. And bankruptcy is the ultimate cure for an ultimate problem.
There's no doubt about it.
If you can't pay honestly, then bankruptcy is an option. Option.
Yep.
You know, I'm really sorry, but that's the way the world works.
Well, I'm just looking at it like I said. These people are really making me really think that they're not very bright. Period. I can't see this. I mean, this is craziness. But once again, we have 3 full years to deal with this. You know. So what's going to be next? I don't know. We have Gitmo detainees. We have...
Wait a minute. I saw the president sign the paper. Gitmo's closed. It's been closed for years.
No, it didn't go yet.
Oh.
It's dying a very slow death.
Oh.
Well, you know...
Wait a minute. All the troops are home from Afghanistan. And Iraq, right?
Yeah, but...
No, that hasn't
happened.
Hamid
Karzai was saying... well, I think you're right. I might need to have some of your contingency here for the next few years. You know what? If you're going to do that, need to take need to put Now I can't think. I just saw another goofy thing being added, and it took my train of thought. Okay. This is the craziness. See, this is what I'm talking about. Let's see. Dollars go to administrative costs. It's not cheap to run a nonprofit. Diva, I'm going to bring you in so you can this craziness
on the air. What's Diva telling you there about nonprofit?
Telling me rich people give to charities just like the welfare program. Most of those dollars go to administrative costs.
I hate to tell you this, but Diva, if you're listening, dear, you don't understand rich people.
No.
See, when rich people give money away,
mm-hmm.
they do due diligence ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And every charity has to report the amount of money it spends for administration,
mm-hmm.
the percentage of its income.
Mm-hmm.
Rich people do not give to charities that have a high level of administrative cost because
mm-hmm.
they value their money. I mean, that's probably how they got their money, is they value it very highly. And also there's another fallacy that people think, that rich people give money to charity to dodge taxes. If you understood how the tax code works, that ain't the case.
No.
Because it'd be cheaper to just pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
Because say you're in a 30% tax bracket and you made $100,000, or you gave $100,000 away. So you should have had to pay $30,000 in taxes. So if you give that $30,000 in taxes, or $30,000 to a charity, you're going to save $3,000 in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You save whatever your tax rate is in what you give.
Go ahead.
Here's my thing. When I started my nonprofit organization, you can operate without having your 501c. You can operate while your 501c is pending. It takes at least 3 to 6 months for that to come through. So they still allow you to collect donations. Most
takes
of
you 3 years if you're conservative.
Well, whatever. Most of the companies, most of the donors I went to would not help because I didn't have my 501c. Without the 501c, you know, we're not really interested in contributing. And I had asked one prominent company down here that is their basis here.
You said company,
why that
didn't
was.
You?
And what?
You
I
said
asked why
company,
that was.
Didn't you?
And she said that, and the person who was in charge of that department stated that they need it as a tax write-off. And I'm like, okay, well, I get that. I completely understand it. I get that. I wasn't even asking for that much money. I was just asking for a $2,000 endowment. That was it. But in dealing with my own nonprofit organization, I've seen it. I've saw mostly money come from personal donors who were not, who didn't have any money, who weren't rich.
Diva, I can tell you why that is.
One thing.
Diva, I can tell you why that is. What track record did you have?
No, they weren't worried about my track record.
I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody walks into my office and says, I have this nonprofit and it's 3 months old, I'm going to say, well, come back in a couple of years and let's see what you've done.
Okay, that's not what I was told. I get what you're saying. I was told that by maybe one or two, and I completely understand that. But, and just like how I have another friend who is also very well known in the city, has his own foundation. And that's exactly what he explained to me as well. He said, you need to get your 501c. Donors are not, especially the higher end donors, are not going to give you any contributions because they're not going to be able to write it off. But the purpose
Diva, you have to remember there's a legal ramification to that too for a company. A company has a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders, and a company cannot give money to anything that is not deemed a legitimate charity.
Okay,
or they
I
can
get
be
that.
Held, they can be held.
No, your 501c does not establish you as a legitimate charity. Your articles of operation.
Diva. You have to have the IRS blessing.
Charity.
You have to have the IRS blessing.
No,
that
you do not.
That is the legal, yes. Try getting audited.
Oh, you
have you ever been audited?
I can operate
have
as a charity.
Have you ever been audited? Have you ever been audited as a business?
I can operate as a charity without my 501c, Stix. I
you
can.
Might be able to, you might be able to operate as a charity. But those donors, especially those corporate donors, cannot give you money because they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. And if it's found out that for some reason your charity wasn't above board, they can be held responsible by the IRS and the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Stix, that's true
for
a certain
you're
amount.
You're missing two different
things here. No, that's true for a certain amount. Yes, I completely get that. I completely get what you're saying. They have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. Okay, I completely get that. What I'm saying is, let's just keep it real. Let's just keep it real. The point of all those large contributions, I've been told this by donors by themselves, that the reason why you need that 501c, and they give out those shares. They didn't tell me, oh, well, we have a responsibility towards our shareholders. I could completely understand.
Well, they're not,
they
they're not going to. They don't have to explain nothing to you.
And simply said, well, you know, we need to write it off on our taxes.
But, Diva, that offers parcel with the same thing.
You asked
okay, all right, yeah, go ahead, try.
Listen,
go ahead, try.
You asked the corporation for something. I didn't ask.
That was
I didn't
the point
ask.
Of comment that I made. The point of the comment that I made, the purpose of the comment was to point out a story that I came across a immigrant family from California. Now, there is a very wealthy town, maybe 20 minutes from me, that I go and I get my sushi. Mostly Benz, Porsches, and Jaguars you see driving around. Very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $1 million, $2 million mansions. Beautiful. The owner of Victoria's Secret has his home in that city. And
okay.
The family is standing there on the corner with two kids, maybe two-year-old, four-year-old, if that. And I'm driving past, and I'm like, well, I don't have a job, so I can't really afford to help. I'm seeing, I don't know how many Benzes and Porsches and expensive cars driving past, and no one stopped to help. So I, you know,
stop to help and do what? Whoa. Stop to help and what? He had a sign out?
Where they broke down?
Yeah, he had a sign out. Lost my job. My family's starving. Can you do anything to help? Job, food, or money? Okay? And I was led by the Holy Spirit, go to the bank, the nearby ATM, take out some money. But when I came back, I asked him what happened. He said he's from California. He was brought here for work, but when he got here, the job fell through. And I first asked him, I said, did you go to any of the charity organizations or the local churches? He said, yeah, I did, but they only offer food and juice. And I completely understand because around this time, they're limited on their supplies. They won't really re-up until Thanksgiving is when they're.
I don't know what kind of churches you got, but go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
That's the how
church
I keep telling y'all.
Anybody knocks
church,
on the door, my church don't get two bags of groceries.
Okay, well that's not. That's why I kept saying the churches down here are not like that up there. So then I asked him. I said,
are.
Well,
yes they
no,
are.
I basically gave him the word of God, prayed with him, gave him the little bit of money that I had to give. And was on my way. I look back, another Benz rolled past. Nobody even stopped to talk or anything.
Why? They don't have time. And guess what? I would have asked him this question. Why did you leave California? You didn't have a guarantee of a job coming here to Ohio. That was the question because you just,
Diva, for what it's worth,
he said, he left California because he was told he had a job here. He didn't leave at the prospect. He said he was told he had a job here. And he was trying to make a better life for his wife and his family. And when he got here, the job fell through.
Diva, let me tell you a true story. A friend of mine, John Vincent, lived in Manhattan. He had a friend that every morning got in his Benz, drove to a parking garage, put on old dirty clothes, and went and stood on a street corner in downtown Manhattan. And he was, at that time, 30 years ago, he was making $45,000 a year panhandling. That's why most people don't stop.
Yep. And that story was a bogus story. I'm telling you, nobody does that, Diva.
You don't want to stop, but at least stop and inquire. At least stop and inquire.
Why bother inquiring if they're going to, if you know you're going to be lied to start with?
It doesn't matter. That's the Christian thing to do, to stop and inquire. And let the Holy Spirit guide you. You're a Christian, right? You have faith and you believe it. You're guided by the Holy Spirit. Let the workings of God do it for you.
Diva, I'm not saying that don't look at somebody and have pity on them out in the street. I've pulled money out of my pocket and give it to people and told them this. I said, God bless you. And I said, this is God's money. If you handle it wrong, you have to answer for it. But I'm releasing it as though, you know, I was given to God. And that's what I do, because I could care less, you know, about whether he takes that money and goes and buys drugs with it or something else, because that's where that man is at this time. But understand what you just said. You got flim-flam. 440, don't go nowhere. 440, you're in the air.
Yes.
Hold on, local caller.
A liberal being a Christian, that's like an oxymoron there. I want to know, can we turn in Diva to the IRS and get money for that, or
for operating a
false charity?
A false charity.
Yeah. Can we turn her in? That sounds like
we won't get any money for it, so it's not worth it.
No. I thought you got money if you did that.
Hold on, local caller.
I'll
give you 1 second.
Go ahead and try to turn me in. I would love for you to try. Go ahead. Be my guest.
Oh, man. Look, she can talk for you. You can't tell when I'm kidding. Oh, my God.
Diva,
I will
tell you.
You're way too serious.
No, because your jokes are corny. That's why I can't tell if you're joking or
not. No. Ridiculous of what you're saying is what's so funny. He's cracking up. But we
really?
Have to understand. Yes, you don't understand.
I stay here for 2 hours listening to y'all ridiculousness.
Oh, man.
Hours. And just
wait a minute.
To y'all ridiculousness.
I got you. Okay, go ahead, local caller.
Yeah, my question is for Diva, because I was also interested in starting a nonprofit, but I'm concerned about the large amount of money that the IRS.
That's only if you're a conservative.
I think the total thing is about
$500 to apply for your depends on if you go to a lawyer or not. If you do it on your own, I think it's about $500 to apply for your 501c, but if you go to a lawyer, it can run you anywhere between $700 and up.
Yeah, and $1,000 or so just to open it up. See, usually.
But then you've got some other things that you got to consider too. You got to have a shooting board.
One at a time.
You talked on top of the lady. Hold on. Go ahead, female caller.
The grassroots, seed money, and like you can have fiscal sponsors to sponsor you as a nonprofit while you're waiting for your 501c, but then you're answering to that fiscal sponsor. So there's so many ponderings that I have about it, but I know I would like to do that. So I get hats off to Diva for just going out there and starting and having her own. So bravo, Diva, and that's all I got to say. Bye-bye.
Okay, and Sal, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you got to have, there's a couple other things you got to have in place. You know, you got to have a sitting board and so on and so forth. You got to have all your paperwork straight. It's a lengthy process, and it's a pain in the butt process because you got to fill out all the correct forms and so on and so forth. So
it's not that difficult. If you have the will to turn, I did mine within, I have my entire organization set up within a month. I had my board established. I had my my friends' foundation sponsor me while I was waiting on my 503, and because we go to the same church and we're friends, he allowed me to operate my 501c as my organization how I wanted it, separate from his, and he was just my sponsor. But I mean,
right? He's your fiscal.
Neither was the paperwork. I mean, I guess it depends on the person.
Listen. You're having a 5-on-1 is fine, and all of that. But the thing is you don't just get a whim and start a 501c. You get it because you for religious purposes or private nonprofit purposes. But you need to have a goal, and you have to have. It's just like setting up a business. You know, my family had a 501c for our family ministry. And we had the lawyer to set it up because my father was the lawyer, so we didn't have to pay him. And so that was a good thing. But the bottom line is this. People are setting up these things, and they're thinking people are going to pour into them. I'm not talking about going to corporations and getting people to give money or that I know corporations to give money. I know private individuals who want to help less fortunate people than they are, and they pour money into organizations, especially in the inner city, because they see the suffering and they see the things that are going on with those people that have a hard time making it. And it's not because they're getting a tax write-off of it, because they're really not getting that much of a thing for that. And I know these people. These aren't people, as your friend said once upon a time, as if it's a fairy tale. Well, he doesn't know the circles I'm in. He don't know the people I know. Just because you see me in your circle every now and then does not mean that I only can go in your circle. And that's what people seem to think.
Nobody gives money away just for tax purposes only, because it
except businesses. Yeah.
Except businesses, but they don't even really. Because the thing is, it doesn't lower your tax burden by the exact same amount. It lowers your taxable income. So you're getting maybe a third of what you're giving away
back in
a tax break. So it would be cheaper to pay the taxes than it would be to give the donation.
This is true, because you've given that donation.
And I take away the tax credit then if it's not doing all that much.
Okay, so then instead of giving $3,000 to a charity, I'm going to give two.
Okay, then that lets me know that you're giving away because you want that tax credit just as much as you're trying to claim it.
That's what we're talking about.
But, Diva, wouldn't you rather have the charity get the extra $1,000 than the government?
Me personally, I could care less about the tax credit. I could care less. I give money, and when I got
the big flick. You're missing the big flick because you don't understand capital. Capital goes to where capital is treated best.
For me, it's not about making money.
That's why New York City.
Not about
that's
money.
Why New York,
it's
no,
helping.
Diva, capital goes to where capital is treated best. That's why as soon as they instituted the millionaire's tax in New Jersey, 100,000 families fled. That's why people are fleeing to Texas and Florida from high-tax states such as New Jersey and New York, because capital goes where it's treated best.
Look, I don't
because people
mind.
With money value, people with money understand the value of money. Because money has a value, and they put their money where it can best be used. They don't fritter it away on bits and bobs.
Matt, you're live out there.
I just wanted to touch on a couple things. Diva, listen, I give you all the credit in the world for trying to help out and doing what you're doing. You have a good heart, and I understand it. But when it comes down to actual raw sense and paying attention to who's attracted to what, look at what the big charities like Muscular Dystrophy and Cerebral Palsy, United Cerebral Palsy, and all these big charities that are out there, look at who they turn to for their collections. It's not nonprofit organizations. I worked for a for-profit, a charity-based company that not only was able to provide them with more charity donations that weren't taxed on every dollar that came in, but it also provided jobs for other people. So not only with going with a profit-based charity type thing, not only are you helping out the poor, the unfortunate, or whoever the charities are for, but you're also creating jobs. And I think a lot of these nonprofit companies, it's a fly-by-night thing. There's the books on these nonprofits tend to get, and you starting a nonprofit, you might get some funny looks by the government and wind up screwing yourself in the end. I understand what you're saying, but nonprofit versus profit, you have to go with profit. It's got the big bite in its corner, and it works better.
And if because you have to understand, you know, the way you sound to us, I know that's the way you sound to people in corporations or something that have money to give, and they're going to think that, you know, this chick is not right or something like that.
My business model, showing them what my nonprofit organization is about, how it's going to help the community, and how it's going to further the goal that is set, how is that going to hinder them from giving dollars? Because you don't really actually talk to a person sometimes. You just send them in your business doll, your business model. You send them in all the paperwork that they require, and sometimes they go from there. How does that prohibit someone from wanting to donate? And I get Matt from the profit or nonprofit. It depends on where your heart is and what your goal is and how you're looking to do things. My heart is not about making money. I've said it from the moment that I started talking on the show. If I wanted to be a wealthy person, more than likely I probably could. But my heart is not in wealth. My heart is in helping people.
Then you can't help people if you don't have any wealth. You can't.
Yep.
No, you can't.
Help people can't help themselves,
let alone anybody
else.
He helped millions and millions of people, and he still does to this day. So don't give me that.
Who?
Jesus Christ. He didn't use money to help people.
Yes, he did.
He used currency.
Wait a minute. I got this, y'all.
Charity of other.
Diva. Now, they had 5,000 people out there needing to be fed one day, right?
Right.
Remember that story?
Yeah.
And what did he tell them to do?
Okay.
What did he say, give me exactly what
you're looking for.
He said the people are about to faint. Go buy some bread so that they can eat.
Exactly.
What was he going to buy it with?
You tell. What did the disciples say? They said they didn't have enough money.
They did not.
To feed all of those people.
They did not.
They went and bought what they had the money to buy, and Jesus multiplied.
So they bought the two fishes and the five loaves now.
They did not.
I'm asking. They said they went on and bought the food. No, they're not mistaken,
but here's the problem. They said, we're too far away from the city to get there and get back before, you know, it would be dark or whatever. He said, how can we do this? They had money. What do you think Judas was?
I know Judas was. Basically the treasurer. But the thing is, Jeff, so he healed the sick and he made the blind man, caused the blind man to see because he was getting paid to do so.
He didn't do it because he was getting paid. Jesus didn't need to get paid. Here's what happened. First of all, Jesus had money. He was not poor.
Right.
People think he was poor. None of the disciples were poor.
No.
Not one of them.
Yeah.
Not one of them. They all had money.
Peter's father had hired hands.
Right.
Okay.
And he had hired hands. Because they said, put it in the hands of your servants to take care of. And that's what he did, his business. He let his servants run his business while he was out being a disciple. They had money.
The point still remains is he did not help people to gain wealth.
I didn't say that. That
was my point. You guys went into this long litany of
You don't want to be wealthy because you want to help people. Guess what? You can't help people if you don't have wealth.
You sure can't. You can't.
They're not saying
people can't help themselves, let alone anybody else.
Go ahead, Matt.
They're not saying, Diva, that you can't help anybody if you're not wealthy. They're saying you have to have some wealth to you. You have to keep yourself on a steady financial ground to be able to help other people. Otherwise, you can't do anything. Jesus was able to provide miracles. Those things that you talked about, making a blind man see, a deaf man hear, those are miracles. Those don't cost money. But, you know, to do other things to help them, you know, acquire, you know, take them somewhere, that requires gas money for your car, a place for you to lay down and sleep and rest while you're helping these people. That's what they're saying.
Okay, that's completely different. That is completely different. But saying, but implying that you need to be wealthy, the implication was completely different. That I need to be wealthy or have wealth. Okay, to have some income to start a nonprofit or to even have a nonprofit. Yes, everyone. You can't do it out of thin air. You can't start anything out of thin air. I couldn't help the guy on the side of the road if I didn't have any money in my bank account. You need something to help people with.
It's going to be worse, Stephen.
The fact of the matter still remains is it's not about how much money you make in the process or what you can charge people or what you can get written off. It's about the goodness of your heart.
And that's
the goodness of your heart, you're doing the will of God.
Diva, here's a concept that you need to understand.
Oh, go ahead.
By happiness. True words are never spoken. We're no longer chasing the almighty dollar. Our ideals are higher than profit. Instead of the aristocracy of money, we have...
the aristocracy of pull. I mean, now it's about influence, but you knew that already.
What I know is that you need to learn some manners.
You ever doubted that money was the root of all evil? There's your proof.
Oh, so you think money's the root of all evil? Have you ever asked yourself what's the root of money? Money is a tool that allows us to trade with one another. Your goods for mine. Your efforts for mine. The keystone of civilization. Having money is not the measure of a man. What matters is how he got it. If he produced it by creating value, then his money is a token of honor.
Look who's talking about honor.
But if he's taken it from those who produce, then there is no honor. And you're simply a looter.
Señor D'Anconia, we all know that money is made by the strong at the expense of the weak.
What kind of strength are you talking about? The power to create value? Or the ability to manipulate, to extort money in backroom deals, to exercise pull.
Just leave.
When money ceases to be the tool by which men deal with one another, then men become the tools of men. Blood, whips, chains, or dollars, take your choice. There is no other. And your time is running out.
And that's the answer about money.
You know, good intentions are good.
Not a movie. But, I mean, you take a quote from a movie based on a man who, how he made his money was off the backs and lives of other people. Through his family.
But the whole thing. But listen, do you understand the principles that they were saying in that?
Diva.
That's what you're missing, totally.
Do you know this? Do you know the parable of the harvest?
I'm sure you're going to tell me if I say
the harvest. Okay, the parable of the harvest. There's a spiritual meaning to that, but the earthly meaning was the farmer said to the hired help, "Didn't I pay you the agreed amount? Was the money not mine before I spent it? Why are you jealous that I gave this guy more money than this guy?" That was the earthly message of that. That what I own is mine to do with as I see fit.
This is true.
And the parable of the talents was the same thing. It was the wicked, lazy slave that just took the talent and buried it in the ground, did nothing with it. He was put into the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because he didn't use what God gave him for the betterment. And that goes with all aspects of life.
Always. And that's the principle that this is why I have such a disdain for socialists and progressives, because they don't mean the people good. They merchandise people.
Right.
They sell people and buy and sell people and they use them for their purpose.
Well, the problem is when the when the collective takes precedent over the individual, then the collective can do anything to the individual it sees fit for the good of the collective. And it always ends up the same way in concentration camps, firing squads, and gas chambers.
Yeah.
That's where euthanasia comes from. To a large part, that's where. What's the biggest argument for abortion we hear? Well, they can't afford to have those kids. We need to stop them. And that is putting society above the individual. And it's the same way. You're going to hear this with euthanasia. We get into this Obamacare thing, you're going to hear more and more into euthanasia. Paul Krugman even said, we're going to have death panels.
That's what he said.
Paul Krugman, the darling economist of the left, said, absolutely, we're going to have death panels.
Because you won't have enough resources to take care of everybody.
Because the one thing socialism does is it takes away man's humanity towards another man. Because take what I have by force, I'm not surely not giving up another nickel by charity.
Death panels exist, and it's very easy to see. If you look at the coverage that you get through Obamacare, and you look at what you have to mention as far as getting this coverage, that when I said before, when they say that you got rid of pre-existing conditions, which they did, but they turned it into a who's in better condition type plan.
Right.
So now, of course, death panels exist because you're not going to be able to get covered when you're 75, 80 years old. Like Obama was talking about during his first run for president, you might as well just
take the pill.
That's a death.
He said, maybe we just need to give you a pill and send you home. Now, why don't they remember that he said that? They're not going to remember that one. The local caller, did you get to speak?
No, I did not, and I remember when he said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you do.
The thing I'm curious about with Diva is her educational background and how she earned her livelihood.
If she cares to say.
Well, I'm curious, because, I mean, to set up a foundation, to me, is a big deal, and so I just was curious to know about her background.
Are you planning on donating to my organization? Is that why you're inquiring us into my private business?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No.
I've
got
to
go. You all can exchange numbers, but, here's the thing, because you may not want to tell everybody on the air, what you do or don't do, because I really don't know.
If you could say anything. The one gentleman told us that he was, involved in computer, and then you were a government employee. I was a government employee, so I was just thinking, what is her background? Because that's a big undertaking, and if she wants people to be able to assist her, she has to show her credentials. So that's just why I was curious. If you know how somebody spends their own money, then you're more inclined to give them your money.
This is true. Well, she'll have time to answer, so 330-692, you're in the air.
You guys are, let's say someone doesn't have health care now, and so who's deciding, there's death panels in the current system, they just don't call them death panels. You guys constantly bring up this death panel stuff. When someone doesn't have insurance, they can't afford. I mean, gosh.
Here's why. I had an 80. My father died when he was 88. He passed away. Okay, now, in the 2 years before that, when he took ill, he got a pacemaker put in his heart, which gave him a pretty good level of life afterwards. He felt better, this, that, and other. Well, guess what?
86 at the time, right, Jeff, when he got that pacemaker?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Now, guess what? He wouldn't have got that after this coming year with Obamacare. He's too old.
Who paid for it?
His insurance paid for it, but he worked his life. No, whatever, he was a state employee. He got a pension.
So the government paid for it. The government paid for it.
The government.
The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from people who owe back taxes. If you owe back taxes to the state.
Listen, my father worked and earned his pension, as a prosecutor. So now that's his. He earned it. It's not the freaking government.
He's entitled to it.
Argument that Social Security payments and Medicare payments are government is a straw man argument because you were forced by law to pay into those things. And many, many people would refuse to pay into those and would buy private care if they had the option, and they would opt out of Social Security and take on a private retirement plan if they had the option.
So George Bush tried that, and it got defeated.
40 years, and then say, well, you're taking a government benefit by taking back one-tenth of what you should have gotten if you had invested that money at 5% interest for your whole life is a straw man argument, and it's a lie.
Sure
George Bush tried to privatize it, and it got soundly defeated.
No, he didn't. Go ahead, Six. Tell him
what it was. He wanted to allow people to put 1% of the 7% that was automatically deducted from their checks into their own accounts.
No. You might have been right about the 1% of that, but he said 5% of your total.
Right.
Whatever was going to be, you had control over 5% of it, and they, oh, no, you can't take that away from the people. Yeah, they won't have anything. You stupid idiots.
Everybody needs to go do the math, figure out at 5% rate of return, the 15%.
Where?
That's what
they're where? 5% where? Half. 5% where?
That's the average stock market return over the last 100 years has been about 8%. So 5%
actually,
is below
it's,
that.
It's closer to 10, but nevertheless, tell that to the people
that
were retiring in 2008.
Take the 15% that you've been paying in your whole life and go at 5% and see what it comes out at.
Tell the people that don't, that can't understand volatility. Tell that to the people that wanted their benefits in 2008.
If I got $2.5 million in my IRA. And the stock market goes in half, and I got $1 million, I'm still doing all right for retirement.
Unlisted caller, you go ahead.
I'm listening.
Okay, Brown. Listen, you know, here's the thing. He was saying take a percentage of it. He didn't say take half of it or three-quarters of it, anything like that. He said a percentage.
Social Security. It has the word social in it. You guys say, I'm against the government, except give me my check. I'm against the government, but
you just don't like the parts of government that you don't like.
I spent
all of my income for 50 years, and now I don't have a right for any of it back.
I never said that.
Well, that's what you just said.
Give me my check, you said.
It's got social in it. Give me my check, you said. That's what you said.
All right, let me opt out at
18
years old and not... Let me opt out at 18 years old.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
And then you guys have no solution for the guy or for the person who opts out at 18 and then winds up broke at 65 and homeless. What's your solution for them? What do they do?
It's called the county home.
Oh, so the government pays for them again.
If you're stupid and you opt out at 18... It's called the county home. And we've had it in the country ever since the inception of this country.
Who pays for that?
The county.
Who pays for the county?
Opt out at 18. So if they opt out at 18, you're
county.
I'm confused.
The state helps the county, and then the federal government helps the state.
You're right. It's just a heck of a conundrum.
What we're trying to do is control. Obamacare is trying to control the expenses of the healthcare system. Right now, if you don't have healthcare, how do they get when they're sick? Where do they go? To the emergency room.
St. E's lost $30 million
to indigent care this year. $30 million. Where do they get that back from? From raising fees to the people who pay their bill. What you're saying is this system is fine. Instead of food stamps, let's just let them have dine and dash.
No, we don't.
Dine and dash is fine.
That.
We did not say that.
And there's another thing that you don't realize, that Dr. Hill has spoken to this when he's been a guest on this program. There are a lot of people with insurance that go to the emergency room because guess what? If they go to the emergency room, there's no deductible, no copay.
No, he
but
didn't
if they go
say
to the
a
doctor's
lot.
Office, there's a $50 copay. And
I'm
my
saying
wife
people without insurance
that
go to
the
emergency
time.
Room. People that without insurance. Go ahead. Go ahead, Diva. I love you, by the way. Every time you're on the show, I love listening to you, so go ahead.
At least somebody's can. No.
Seriously.
There are going to be people who take advantage of the system. Dr. Hill was speaking to a specific group of people, and they're not the ones with private insurance. They want something and they want it down. That's what he was speaking to.
My wife's employer offers insurance to everyone. And there are women that work where my wife works that will go to the emergency room rather than go to the doctor because there is no copay, no deductible to go to the emergency room.
Your wife's insurance will not be
affected. You're not the problem. People are tired of going broke because they're sick. That makes no sense. That I have to think about paying whether I'm going to pay my rent or am I going to end up going to doctors because I'm sick or because I'm sick
if you have
to worry about
this for-profit charity. Sorry, Diva.
I mean, you guys talk out of both sides of your mouth because I really don't know.
No, we don't, Diva. You don't understand. Okay,
Diva. Or you hate them.
Diva,
no, really,
you have to.
They mostly talk out of the right side of their mouth. That's the
yeah.
Truth.
You guys are against death panels. You guys are against death panels. But I'm against death panels too. But the problem is when the guy opts out at 18 and ends up broke because the market crashes and now he has no money during retirement. You don't think you've created a death panel then? Because you're going to have to say, do we give this guy care now or don't we?
When have you ever seen somebody's stock portfolio go to zero?
The guys that jumped out of the buildings? You mean the Lehman Brothers guys?
If you're invested in the Dow Jones, even if it goes in half, if you've been doing it your whole life and it goes in half,
you don't understand the stock market if you're talking like that. Accounts can go to zero in many different ways, okay? And there's people on Wall Street that have jumped out of buildings because 2 million turned into 1 million, because 100 million can turn into zero, and there's no way to get it back. The stock market can be a zero sum game, and Lehman Brothers does not exist anymore.
Stocks can be a zero sum game. But a properly managed mutual fund account cannot go to zero.
So everyone goes into a mutual fund now.
That's what Social Security
and all these other things are, unless they all are tied to the T-bond.
Just like right now, part of my wife's 401k right now is in an account that is guaranteed 4.5% rate of return. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed? You better talk to your advisor because there's no such thing as guaranteed anywhere, okay? Anywhere.
Yes,
there
No, FDIC.
No, that's guaranteed. They used to be 150,000 FDIC. Now they raised it to 250 FDIC. When AIG went bankrupt and needed bailed out, it was because they were in mortgage insurance to all the mortgages. Okay? They went bankrupt because they said, we don't have enough. Nothing is guaranteed in the system. And 2008 taught us that.
And why was that?
Want to throw elderly people into that mix. You want to throw people who have no experience with the stock market and let them fend for themselves.
No, you don't.
No, I don't want them to fend for themselves.
And that's
just
we
let them the out now.
No, because we're uneducated. Because we're not being financially educated in our schools. We're not being financially educated in our homes. The average American, when it comes to being educated about money, is completely and totally illiterate. They don't even understand the difference between interest paid and interest paid.
Including you or not including you?
He's intelligently discussing it, so he obviously understands what he's saying.
I'm just asking his opinion, including him. I'm not making a judgment.
I would say...
Including you, sir, or not including you?
I am educated.
Never mind, you don't have to answer the question. It's taking a little while.
I have a serious question. Say that we did move to private accounts, because Dr. Carson said when a person is born, his answer for the system is, a person is born, you give them a birth certificate and a health savings account that they can contribute to. Okay, a person starts working at 16, and they're working to, say, 45. So for 29 years, they've contributed to this health savings account, and depending on their how much they make, they were able to put a certain amount away. Say a person has a life-threatening illness that needs to be seriously treated and treated over a course of time. By the time they're 50, 55, that money's wiped out.
Let's say it's wiped out by the time they're 40.
It could be wiped out if they get sick at
20. But the way the health savings account system works is you have catastrophic care insurance on top of your health savings account. You have
that was the system he was talking about moving over to, and I heard a lot of Republicans saying to move over to complete private handle health care that
you
way.
You don't
I've
understand
heard
how
that
the
many
health
to
savings
heal.
Account system works. The health savings account
the way it works now is completely different, Sticks. But what I'm saying
we got to go. And Diva, you're wrong. We'll talk about it tomorrow afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Christopher Columbus, he wasn't the guy you thought he was. We'll see you later.
Visit our website more about Tracy and friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow.